Namaste, everybody, and welcome to this talk. This is a talk about meditation and really how to penetrate the veil of meditation. I was actually pleasantly surprised to see the interest in meditation and also the interest in how to go beyond that state and how to enter that state of bliss and enter that state of, well, that we refer to as samadhi. And there's so much to say about this topic. It's a bit of effort to get there. It's not going to happen easily. And I think that one of the things that a lot of people do is they end up beating themselves up in their meditation practice, and they forget the reason of why we sit to meditate, why we do this meditation practice. You can think of the mind as like this gushing river that's just charging forward. And you know, here in Costa Rica, we've had so much rain lately. And whenever you get a lot of rain, and this happens anywhere, not just in Costa Rica, but that you get to see where weaknesses are in structures. There's this major bridge on one of the arteries that has now closed down, which means that the whole highway system is closed down. And so everybody has to detour and go around it. And this is meditation. This is what happens in meditation. Our energy is just flowing and flowing and flowing. And what we're doing in meditation is we're kind of just putting a dam up and saying stop. And that energy, then where does it go? And you see this a lot with people when they're doing meditation, especially with new students in the 28-day immersions. You ask them to sit still. Sometimes like the first day they can do it, but then around the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th day, there's a lot of moving around, and then they need to lie down, and then they come and sit back up. This is not a restlessness in body. This is restlessness in mind. And this restlessness is energy, which then, you know, disturbs thought, it agitates thought. So from a tantric perspective, and it's important to understand this idea, if you want to start to get quiet in meditation, if you want to go beyond that state, that the two causes of mind is energy and thought. The death of one is the death of the other one. And so if we're going to go beyond that state, we need both in synchronicity. We need to get both in synchronicity, because you can sit there all you want, but if your energy is not balanced, if your energy is chaotic, if your energy is not one-pointed and directed, then your thoughts are going to be all over the place. So the key to unlocking this kind of idea of going into a deeper meditative state is really in energy. Okay, we can close off and go home now. I gave you all the answers. But the thing is that we now need to put it into practice. We now need to understand, well, what is it about our energy that's actually doing that? What is it? How do we actually transform that into a meditative state? And so what I want to do first is go through the steps of meditation, because these cannot be understated. When you're setting up for meditation, if you don't set it up correctly, then your meditation is going to be a disaster. And it's just going to be a disaster. You're not going to get a fruitful meditation. And so there's different steps. And the first step is sitting. And so you can see that I've got my little seat here. I've got my blankets to prop me up and to enable my hips to kind of come forward, my pelvis to tilt forward a little bit. And it allows me then to be comfortable here. I can actually sit like this for a long time. So when you're setting up for meditation, that your seat really needs to support you. And if your seat's not comfortable, within 5 minutes, you're going to be shuffling around. So we just talked about energy. What is the way to access the energetic body? The way to access the energetic body is through breath. And so whenever we start to move, even just a little bit, our breathing pattern starts to change. You know, you can think about it. Just even as I did that little shuffle for you, I just noticed, like, I inhaled and kind of held my breath for a moment. It wasn't a long hold. It was just like a split second, but my whole breathing pattern shifted and changed. And that's what happens when you get into meditation. Your teacher will say, and I can always hear Rod's voice in the back of my head, you know, allow the breath to come to a meditative state. And what is that meditative state? So this is kind of like step two in meditation. Step two in meditation is get the breath really quiet. Get your breath into that one-to-one rhythm. Now, I know some of you have been studying with me for a long time. How often do you forget one-to-one breathing? Even though I said in your yoga teacher training, in your immersion with me, consistently, the number one thing you can do or should do when you leave here is practice one-to-one breathing. And I'm going to circle back to that. But understanding this flow, this regulation of inhalation and exhalation, the ancient scriptures talk about inhalation and exhalation as the doorkeepers standing at the doorway of life. And only when they're balanced and in perfect union with each other does the mind also become in perfect union. So we need to understand something about the breath. Now, I've given you two steps, sitting and breathing. The first step is sitting. And I will be very honest with you that sometimes your practice, as frustrating as it may be to some of you who are wanting to, you know, reach the pinnacles of enlightenment and really kind of, you know, be there, is that sometimes your practice is just about sitting, it's just about getting still in your seat and very stable and very quiet. And then sometimes your second step is kind of stuck on the breathing thing. You end up, like, if you budget 20 minutes for your meditation, for your sitting practice, your whole 20 minutes ends up becoming about just getting still and then developing and cultivating that meditative breath. But if you don't have those two things, everything else I'm going to talk about from here, except for the next step, is you might as well just throw it out. It doesn't mean anything. You know, I always think about my teacher, Swami Rama, of the Himalayan Institute, who taught, I think it was like for 30 years. And every year, he would teach the same thing over and over and over again. And he would kind of admonish people, you know, Josie, I told you many times, sit with a straight spine. You don't sit with a straight spine. You're not honoring your guru when you slouch. Patricia, how many times have I said, breathe one to one? 10 years now. Adam, what's going on over there? For 10 years, I've been teaching you how to do these basic things, and still you're not doing them. And you can actually read transcripts like this. I would never do that to you, but he did. But all of his students would kind of like go after him. When are you going to teach us the real stuff? When are you going to go and teach us to go beyond the veil of meditation? When are we going to start to learn the deeper stuff? the deeper stuff is in your ability to relax, is in your ability to let go, is in your ability to synchronize the mind with your breath. In The Secret of the Yoga Sutras by PRT, Pandaji Rajmani Tiganai, he says so beautifully, I believe it's in Sutra 114 in his dissertation of it. It might be 113 or 114, that he talks about the abhyasa. And he says that abhyasa, which, as you might remember, is to be in the endeavor of practice, is to really kind of put yourself into this practice fully and deeply, continuously, and without stopping. So that's kind of the peripheral definition. But he said at a deeper level, what it really means is to be in the endeavor of uniting the mind with the breath, the mind with the energy. And what has happened, and he says it so much more beautifully than I could, which is sometimes why I read from these texts, is that when the mind is united with the breath, the mind is reminded of its long-lost friend, the breath. And when it gets reunited with the breath, the mind becomes calm. And there's an inner stillness, and the mind is reminded of the inner luminosity within. And so always remember that when you can't meditate at a fundamental core, at a fundamental yogic idea, if you will, is that your mind is constantly going outward. Your mind is seeking happiness outside of you. Somewhere along the line of your life, somewhere along the way of your life, you learned that happiness was outside of you. You were taught that if you want to be happy, you need to have this. You were taught that if you needed to be happy, if you were going to be happy, that you needed to fulfill this in your life. Your mind has forgotten where the kernels of happiness reside. And so when you see yourself being agitated in meditation, it's because your mind is like fighting you to stop and go inward. It doesn't want to go inward because that's not where it believes happiness is. And so what we need to do is start to unite the mind with the breath. Remind the mind that the breath is its long lost friend. And once the mind starts to calm down and be reminded of its long-lost friend, it starts to turn inward, and then it's reminded of the pure joy and stillness that's already within you. And that is when we start to penetrate the veil of meditation. That is when we start to go beyond. And so the third step is kind of twofold. One is to become very relaxed and yet have a very stable and strong spine, to sit upright. No slouching, please. But to sit upright. And then the fourth step is to start to focus inwards, is to start to tune inward. And then the fifth step, the fifth step is technique. And the technique is a conversation that we're going to have in a moment. What kind of technique do you apply? So there's different kinds of meditations. And this is kind of, especially for new people to meditation, can be sometimes confusing. But it's important that you understand that there's different types of meditation. And sometimes you've heard of Buddhist meditation. You've heard of transcendental meditation, which are very kind of towards the Buddhist end of the spectrum. You've heard of tantric meditation, sometimes referred to as bringing your sexual energy upwards. I'm here to tell you that tantric meditation doesn't really have anything necessarily to do with sexual energy. But it's more about starting to understand how to move energy through your body. So it's not just from here, it's from everywhere. And where do we want to bring that energy ultimately? Bring that energy into our spine. And so there's the technique which Swami Rama taught, which is called Sushumna Awakening, is the energy that is in your spine that becomes enlivened, that becomes awakened within you. So the Sushumna Awakening is a very powerful technique. It's one I've taught in yoga teacher trainings that I teach in some of the immersions. But it's not the technique I'm going to teach today. I'm going to teach another technique. And so we have these different kinds of meditations. We have these very kind of Zen-like, Buddhist-style meditations. We have these very tantric meditations. There's also meditations where you can focus on one thing. In the one-month immersions and in the 14-day immersions, we always start the morning focusing on candle, focusing on a flame. And so the practice of tratika, of starting to concentrate on one thing. When we're doing mantra meditation, we're focusing our attention on the mantra. And so these kinds of meditations tend to be more of a classical tradition and focus more on really trying to train the mind. But in the tantric tradition, we're really starting to embrace kind of meditation style techniques that focus more on energy and therefore the breath. Now it's kind of interesting, just for those of you who like to know, and this is kind of going off on a slight tangent, but in the Yoga Sutras, we're actually given both. The Patanjali, in his really, I think, incredible wisdom, gave us techniques to focus on, you know, cultivating practices around training the mind, but then also gave us practices to penetrate the deeper aspects of the mind using the qualities of energy, using the qualities of breath. So there's different styles of meditation, and there's meditations that help us, you know, separate ourselves from our pain. This is styles of V-yoga, the yoga of separation, to separate ourselves from that which is not working. And in the one-month immersion, in the 200-hour one-month immersion, I want to tell you that this is a huge kind of focus of this training, is to begin this process of separating ourselves from that which is not working in our life. And I'll tell you something, it is the hardest meditation. It is one of the hardest things to do. If you're struggling, if you took the 200-hour or 14-day with me and struggled, there, it's with good reason, because this is one of the hardest kinds of meditation that you can do. It's hard to just sit there and witness what you're not comfortable with. And it's not the fastest way to still the mind. But it is a crucial step. It is a critical step. If you don't know how to do that, and you start to go into these kind of energetic practices, as subtle as they are, they can really start to kind of create this inner chaos. Because what these energetic practices do is they start to make you more enlivened, more powerful, and then you're probably thinking over there, Aaron, hello, that's what I want. I want to feel more enlivened. I want to feel more powerful. But here's the thing, if you're dysfunctional in your life, if you've got dysfunctional habit patterns, and I give you more power and you generate more power in your yoga practice, if you generate more power in your meditation practice, guess what's going to happen to all of your dysfunctions? You're going to become powerfully dysfunctional. And that's not really going to serve you in the long run. So we need to cultivate those practices of stillness. It's the most, I'll tell you, it's the most bloody hardest practice. It's just frickin' hard. is to get still. There's so much that's pulling at us constantly. And you know it, I know it, we're just gonna call it what it is. It's not easy getting still. And your practice needs to involve this cultivation of stillness, and then you can start to go deeper, and you can start to go into the more sublime practices of yoga. Now, one of the questions that came up was around pranayama and how do we use pranayama to get into penetrating those deeper detail, deeper states. And I just want to say a couple things right on the onset, but one of them right off the bat is that this is 300-hour territory. In the 300-hour yoga teacher training is really where I start to unpack pranayama on a very big scale and really look at the scriptural references from the Yoga Sutras, and then also look at the scriptural references from the Hatha Yoga Pradipika, and then we bring it home. But for the purpose of today, what I want to leave you with is this, and I'm going to do some more of these offerings so that we can unpack it even more so and kind of understand pranayama, because it's such a huge topic. And everything I'm going to say to you today is going to kind of go over your head for the most part. You might grasp like one little thing, but it's a really kind of hard concept for people to understand until you practice it. And so the two things have to happen simultaneously if you really want to go deeper into these practices. You have to practice them and you have to be taught them. And so I'm going to attempt to do a little bit of both, because at the end of this, we're going to do a little bit of a practice. And I'm going to kind of guide you through one of the aspects of what Patanjali is talking about in Sutra 252. But for now, what I want to just say is this, is that when you start to go in a little bit more in with the breath, you are able to remind the mind of its long lost friend, the breath. And this only starts to happen when you get this beautiful like flow with the breath. And you know, for years, I actually trained myself with a metronome. I actually use those metronomes for a lot of my pranayama practices. And you know, there's these counts that you need to follow. And so the basic count that I've always taught is 1-to-1 breathing. So you start there. You know, if your count is 4, you inhale 1, 2, 3, 4, exhale 2, 3, 4. And you build this beautiful wave with the breath. And there's something that's really amazing with the mind that starts to happen. It just starts to become quiet. It just starts to become very calm. And how many of you have noticed that when you start to breathe, or sorry, start to go into a deeper meditative state, and it doesn't have to be like the full enchilada, but you start to become quiet, what happens to your breath? You stop breathing. You actually either stop breathing or you slow the breath down. There's a scriptural reference to this. I believe it's Sutra 134. And Patanjali says to meditate on the space or on the pause at the end of exhalation. And this is a loaded statement, by the way. There's so much to unpack here. If you want to get like, you know, if you want to jump ahead, you know, and forget the next lesson I'll teach you, and forget the 300 hour, just get the secret of the Yoga Sutras, because it's all there. If you can read it and put it into practice. But what he's saying is that in that space, there's this inner illumination that starts to happen. And it actually happens right at the center, at the midbrain, at the pineal gland. And there's this inner kind of calming that starts to happen between the roof of the mouth and the pineal gland. And your attention just starts to go there. And when it starts to go there, something incredible starts to happen and the mind just becomes like flatline. I don't know if you've ever had this experience in meditation, when you start to become very quiet, and maybe there's something, some noise, you know, happening around you. Like, for example, right now I can hear, and maybe you can hear, the cicadas in the background. And the cicadas are like... And when you're meditation, when you go deep into meditation, that sometimes there's what I call the flatline state. The cicadas are no longer there. They were there, but you're so deep within that all the noise in the outside world just stops. And you no longer hear it. Until you kind of scratch yourself, or your yoga teacher says, okay, come back, or your alarm goes off, or whatever it is. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, there's this noise out there, and I didn't even hear it. Or it must have stopped or something. And so this unlocking this pranayama is really important. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to teach you, and for some of you who have studied with me before, I've actually taught this, and it's called the Nishta breath. Nishta breath. I don't know what it means, or I don't remember what it means at this moment in English, but in Sanskrit, the word is Nishta. Breath, N-I-S-H-T-A, Nishta breath. So I'm really, what the breath is just starting to slow the breath down consciously. It's starting to bring the breath down into a very slow manner. And this is going beyond the state of counting. At this point, we're no longer counting the breaths, okay? So I'm going to guide you through a meditation. It's going to be three parts. The first part is we're going to start off doing some one-to-one breathing, okay? The second part is that we're going to enliven our body, enliven the spine using pranashakti, the pranashakti force. And then the third thing we're going to do is implement nishta breath, okay? So we need to assume a comfortable meditative seat. Now, remember that one of the aspects of meditation is to be comfortable. If you're not comfortable, you're going to be fidgeting like crazy and moving around and never really being still. So if you need to sit on a chair, or as you can see behind me, there's a wall. If you need to prop yourself up on the wall, please do so, okay? So I'm just going to give you a quick moment to find a comfortable seat. Okay. And so once you find your comfortable seat, you can cross your legs. Sometimes when I'm setting up to sit, I'll bring my hands to my knees and actually will lift my knees up. And do you see how I got my feet flexed? They're not just like that. They're actually flexed. And I pull the knees, which are connected to the leg bones and then my hips, and I pull them into my body. And as I do that, I can feel the lumbar extension. There's a curve in my lumbar spine, and my chest is able to come upwards, and I draw the shoulder blades back and down the spine. As I pull the shoulder blades down into the back pocket of my pants, I can feel the anterior serratus engaging, and I lift the chest up. Now lean back just a little bit, and then come forward a little bit. Nice. And then lean back a little bit. and then become balanced on the sit bones. And feel that the top of your head is in line with your tailbone, and then relax the knees down. Good. Now, if you need to prop the knees up, put something under the knees, like some pillows or blankets. I don't need anything underneath my knees at this moment, so I'm just gonna let them relax down. And just starting to close your eyes and begin to establish a meditative state of mind. Now, there's a few tricks to establishing a meditative state of mind, a meditative quality of mind. The first step is to begin to feel your seat. Feel the top of the head rising upwards. Relax the shoulder blades down the back. Relax the shoulders. Don't force the shoulders down. So sometimes it's actually kind of nice just sitting where you are. Don't do anything except lift the shoulders up. Squeeze them up. And then relax. Your ability to relax is related to your ability of letting go, your ability to let go is your ability to practice vairagya, non-attachment. And so for so many of us that struggle in meditation, the seat or the seed of the reason why you struggle is because you haven't cultivated vairagya. You haven't cultivated letting go. You cling on to your thoughts. You cling on to the images. You cling on to the feelings. So in the yoga tradition, it's really, it's hard to let go of the thoughts. So start with the body. Let go in the body, become relaxed. Relax your face, your jaw, your ears, your shoulders, your arms, your forearms, your hands. Relax your shoulder blades, the ribs, the chest. Relax the inner organs. Relax the legs, the hips, the knees, the feet. And begin to feel the spine enlivening still in this relaxed state. So don't lose the relaxation as you feel the spine enlivening. Begin to tune into the breath and feel the breath moving in and moving out. And that you cultivate this relationship with the two doorkeepers that are standing guard at the doorway of life. Inhalation and exhalation. And just begin to see the count of the breath so that you're counting inhalation and exhalation. So you might notice that you inhale, for example, to 5 counts. And then you might exhale for 7 counts. Or maybe you inhale for 5 counts, but you exhale for 3 counts. Just take another 2 or 3 breaths there, just noticing the differences in the way that you breathe. And then slowly start to even the breath out so that you inhale and exhale with equal counts. So if you inhale for 5, then you exhale for 5. Remember, the count should be somewhere around this beat. Inhaling 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhaling 2, 3, 4, 5. Inhaling 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhaling 2, 3, 4, 5. So whatever your count is, just keep doing it. And if you can, start to cultivate an awareness. And this is kind of going to next level, if you will, is to cultivate awareness of the breath moving in through the nostrils. Feel the breath literally touching the edges of the openings of the nostrils. Feel the breath, how it moves through the opening of the nostrils and kind of caresses the inner nostril all the way up to the third eye center, the point between the eyebrows. And then you exhale and come back down, and you feel the breath leave the third eye. And exit through the nostril. Really balancing inhalation and exhalation. There's no pauses between the inhalation and exhalation. There's no pauses between exhalation and inhalation. At the top of the inhale, you immediately start to exhale. At the top of the exhale, or the bottom of the exhale, you start to immediately inhale. Okay, so from here, what I want you to do now is to start to become aware of the third eye, even more aware of the third eye. Keep up with the one-to-one breathing. But as you do that now, start to visualize prana shakti. The prana shakti is that intentional energy life force that has intelligence and nourishes us and enlivens us and gives us inspiration and the power of will to do, to be, and to create. So visualize this prana shakti starting to flow in at the third eye center. And on inhalation from third eye down to the base of your spine at the tailbone. Remember, you're still breathing fully, and as you exhale, exhale prana shakti, life force energy, from the tailbone now all the way up to the third eye, and exhaling out through the third eye. So inhale prana shakti, life force energy, in through the third eye, down into the tailbone. And then exhaling prana shakti from the tailbone to the third eye. Now please still continue to breathe deeply in and deeply out. And the idea sometimes is to begin to bliss out, but keep your mind focused on what you're doing. Okay, so keeping up with that practice, inhaling, allowing the prana shakti to flow through the third eye down to the tailbone. And then exhaling from tailbone and then out through the third eye. So the third step now that you've kind of dived into this practice, the third step now is to practice Nishta breath. And Nishta breath is just simply breathing in about 1/8 of your capacity of breath. So the breath becomes really quiet. You're now no longer counting the breaths on the inhalation and exhalation. You're just slowing the breath rate down. Just breathing in to about 1/8 of your capacity. But still feeling the prana shakti enlivening you, enlivening your spine. Inhaling to 1/8 of your capacity, feeling the breath coming in through the third eye to the base of your spine, and from the base of your spine up through the third eye, just starting to slow the breath down. If that's not in your practice or capacity, and just do it to halfway. So take a deep breath in through your nose and exhale through your nose. Namaste, everybody.